Welcome back to Children's Storytime. My name is Mehtab Sheikh, and I'm going to continue reading Dr. Nicholas is Ridiculous by Dan Goodman. Chapter 8, The Study Buddies. We should form a study group. I couldn't believe those words actually came out of my mouth. But it made sense. We all knew what was going to be on the test. If we learned the answers together, we'd get them all right and we could save our school. Let's have a study group at my house after school this afternoon, said Andrea. We can call ourselves the study buddies. Ugh. One time I had to put on a jacket and tie and go to Andrea's house for her birthday party. I was so bored that I started throwing snails into the garbage can and hit Emily in her head with one. But I agreed to go over to Andrea's house again to save our school. Mom, I said, when I got home, can you drive me over to Andrea's house? What? My mother shouted. You always say you don't like Andrea. Why do you want to go over to her house? We're having a study group. What? My mom rushed over and put her head on my forehead. Moms are always putting their hands on your forehead. Nobody knows why. Are you feeling okay, Jay? You always say you hate studying. Maybe you're coming down with something. You need to rest in bed. No, I told her. I need to get to Andrea's house right away. It's very important. My mom drove me over to Andrea's house. Hi, Arlo, Andrea said when she opened the door. You're the first one here. Come on in. Let's go to my room. My mom went to the kitchen to make chit-chat with Andrea's mom. Mom, Andrea took me upstairs to her room. It was the weirdest place in the history of the world. There was books and encyclopedias, Barbies, and all kinds of pink stuff everywhere. I thought I was gonna die. Luckily, the doorbell rang. It was Ryan and Michael. Andrea and I ran downstairs to let them in. Ooh, Ryan said. AJ got to Andrea's house first. They must be in love. When are you two study buddies gonna get married? Asked Michael. If those guys weren't my friends, I would hate them. Soon the others showed up and we went to Andrea's basement. And you'll never believe in a million hundred years what was down there. A classroom. There was a big whiteboard on the wall and desks, encyclopedias, posters, and computers. There was even a flag so Andrea could do her Pledge of Allegiance at the home. Who has a classroom in their basement? What is Andrea's problem? We all took seats. Andrea went up to the whiteboard and wrote History is Fun on it. I like to call this meeting of the study buddies to order, she said. Who can tell me the name of the first president? Wait a minute, I shouted. You're not a teacher. But I know all the answers for the test, Arlo, Andrea said. Do you? Sure I do, I told her. Oh yeah, Andrea said. Who was the first president? Abraham Lincoln, I said. So na 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 boo boo on you. Everybody laughed, even though I didn't say anything funny. It was George Washington, dumbhead, Neil whispered to me. I knew that, I lied. Bummer in the summer. I wanted to go to Antarctica and live with the penguins. We went over all the questions that were on the test, and I found out that I got few of them wrong the first time. I learned that we fought England in Revolutionary War, not the Galactic Empire. I learned that if the president dies, the vice president becomes the president, not Chuck Norris. I learned that Thomas Edison invented the light bulb, not Bob light bulb. After a million hundred hours of studying, you'll never believe who poked her head into the basement door. Nobody. If you poke your head into a door, it would hurt. But you'll never believe who poked her head into the doorway. It was Andrea's mom. She looks just like Andrea, but with wrinkles. She was with her mom, and they did a big plate full of chocolate chip cookies. Your kids are working very hard, Andrea's mom told us. You could be home playing video games and having fun. But here you are learning about history. I'm so proud of you, said my mom. She was just about to cry, so I was allowed to eat 5 cookies. Soon the other parents showed up to take everybody home. We had to learn all kinds of history so that we didn't know before. I was ready to kick butt on the big test. Chapter 9, The Time Boat. We got to school the next morning. There was a sign on our classroom door. Go to the science room. That was weird. We went to the science room, which is all the way at the end of the school. You'll never guess in a million hundred guesses that it was in the middle of the science room. Wrong. It was a boat. What? A giant rowboat was in the middle of the room. It was the weirdest thing in the history of the world. Mrs. Youngers, our computer teacher, was in the science room too, along with Mr. Docker and Dr. Nicholas. What did you get a boat? I asked. From a rental boat, said Dr. Nicholas. You can rent anything. But this isn't just any old boat. It's a time boat. What's a time boat? Asked Andrea. A time boat is a boat that travels through time, said Mr. Docker. Mrs. Younger and I invented a time machine with the help of Dr. Nicholas, of course. Are we going to travel through time? Asked Alexia. Yes, said Dr. Nicholas. I figured the best way for you children to learn history would be to go there and see it for yourself. Yay, we all shouted. Traveling through time is the coolest. I saw a movie once about a guy who traveled back in time. When he got there, he killed his mother by accident. So he was never born. That movie was weird. Wait a minute, said Michael. Why do we need a boat? Why didn't we just build a time machine out of a phone booth or a car? Because the whole class can't fit inside a phone booth or a car, said Mrs. Youngers. Hop in, said Dr. Nicholas. We all climbed into the time boat. I sat in the front with the guys, and Alexa, Andrea, and Emily sat in the back. Where are we going? Asked Neil, the nude kid. You'll be traveling back to the year of 1776, said Dr. Nicholas. She was fiddling with a bunch of knobs on the control panel of the time boat. Are you coming with us? Asked Ryan. Oh, no, said Dr. Nicholas. There's no room for grown-ups in the time boat. Do we need a paddle or anything? Asked Michael. No, just hold on tight. Aye, aye, Captain, I said. It was exciting. The closest I ever came to traveling through time was when my family went to a restaurant called Medieval Times. They had these guys on horses charging each other with spears while we ate chicken. That place was weird. I'm scared, said Emily, who is scared of everything. Don't be afraid, said Dr. Nicholas. You have nothing to fear but fear itself. What does that mean, I asked. Beats me, said Ryan. On your mark, yelled all the grown-up, get set, go! Suddenly, lights went out. It was dark. I couldn't see my own hand in front of my face. Then there was a buzzing sound, and the time bulb began to rumble and shake. There was electricity in the air? Well, not really. But if there was electricity in the air, we would all die. Help, yelled all the girls. Everybody was freaking out. We were going back in time. I held on to the side of the time boat. There were flashing yellow lights and strange noises. It went on for a long time. And then suddenly, everything stopped. A spotlight fell on a lady who was sitting on a chair next to the time boat. She was dressed in old-time clothes. She was sewing stars on a flag. She looked a lot like a librarian, Mrs. Whoopi. Who are you? Asked Andrea. I'm Bessie Ross, the lady replied. Wow, I said. My mom loves your song, Stop in the Name of Love. That's Diana Ross, dumbhead, said Ryan. You look a lot like Mrs. Whoopi, said Neil. Never heard of her, said the lady who called herself Bessie Ross. What are you doing? Asked Emily. What does it look like? Bessie Ross said. I'm making an American flag. Why don't you just go to the store and buy a flag? I asked her. They don't sell American flags in the stores here in 1776, Bessie Ross told us. I'm making the first one. You see, we colonists are sick and tired of the British rule, so we're starting a revolution. Bessie Ross told us all about the Revolutionary War. But suddenly, she was talking and the lights went out. The time bulb started shaking and rumbling. There were bright lights flashing. Everybody was freaking out again. And then the lights went back on. We were back in the science room with Dr. Nichols and Mrs. Yonkers. That was cool, I said. We got to see Diane Ross live in person. It was almost like a ride at an amusement park, said Neil. Do you think we really traveled through time? Asked Ryan. I don't know, said Michael. That lady seemed pretty real. Can we do it again? Asked Andrea. Sure, said Dr. Nichols as she went over to the control panel. This time you're going to go back to the year 1920. Dr. Nichols fiddled with her knobs. The lights went out. The time bulb started shaking. And the next thing we knew, there was a guy standing next to us. He looked a lot like Mr. Doctor, and he was holding a bowl of peanuts. Who are you? We asked. My name is George Washington Carver, he replied. I'm an inventor. You look a lot like Mr. Doctor, I told him, with a wig. Never heard of him, the guy said. I was born a slave, but I grew up to become one of the most famous scientists in the world. I took peanuts and made them into peanut butter, paper, ink, oils, and over 300 other products. Wow, we all said, which is Mom upside down? George Washington Carver told us all about peanuts, even let us eat some. That guy was nutty for peanuts. Then the lights started flashing again. The time bulb started shaking and we were back in the science room. After that, we got to go back in time to meet Susan B. Anthony, who looked a lot like Miss Small, our gym teacher. Thomas Edison, who looked a lot like Mr. Mackey, our reading specialist, and Grandma Moses, who looked a lot like Dr. Nicholas. It was the greatest day of my life. You should have been there. That was cool. We all said when the lights went back on, I'm glad you enjoyed the time, boy, Dr. Nicholas told us, but we'll have to get out now and let the other classes take their turns. We were about to climb out of the time bulb when the weirdest thing in the history of the world happened. Somebody screamed. Well, that's not the weird part, because people scream all the time. The weird part was what happened next. Eek! It was Andrea. What's the matter? We all asked. Emily's not here, shouted Andrea. She was sitting right next to me in the time bulb. Where's Emily? Where's Emily? Where's Emily? In case you were wondering, everybody was shouting, where's Emily? And Emily was gone. Chapter 10, An Emergency. Emily, Emily, Emily! I'm sure she's around here somewhere, said Dr. Nichols. We looked under all the desks in the science room for Emily, but we couldn't find her anywhere. Maybe she got scared by all the lights and noise, I said. She probably ran away, and she does that all the time. With all that shaking, Ryan said, she might have fallen out of the time bulb. They should really put seatbelts on the time bulbs, I suggested. If Emily fell out of the time bulb, said Alexia, she could be in another time. I think we may have left her back in 1776 with Bessie Ross, shouted Andrea. That was the last time I saw her. She'll be stuck in 1776 forever. Andrea started crying. The grown-ups tried to calm her down, but was no use. Andrea was freaking out. There, said Nicholas, Dr. Nicholas, as she patted Andrea on the back. People always say, there, and pat you on the back when they want you to calm down. They don't say there. It has to be there. What's up with that? Why should I feel better just because somebody said the word there twice and patted me on the back? Emily is my best friend, Andrea wheeled. Now she's stuck in 1776 for the rest of her life, and I'll never see her again. I don't even like Emily, but I was getting a little choked up myself. She may get shot by the British soldiers, said Ryan, or she might help George Washington cross the Delaware, said Neil, the nude kid. That's when I got a genius idea. Hey, I said, why don't we just get back in time, both? Go to 1776 and look for Emily. Yay, everybody shouted. That's a great idea, AJ, said Dr. Nicholas. No wonder I am in the gifted and talented program. We were climbed back into the time boat when you'll never believe who walked into the science room. I'm not going to tell you. Okay, I'll tell you. It was Emily. Emily, we all screamed. Everybody came out to Emily and started hugging her. What's the big deal, Emily said. Why is everyone shouting and yelling? Where were you? Asked Andrea. Andrea, we were so worried. We thought that we left you in 1776 and you will be stuck there for the rest of your life. I wasn't in 1776, Emily explained. I was in the bathroom. Oh, why didn't you just wait until we got out of the time boat? Andrea asked her. It was an emergency, Emily whispered. I had a number two. But why did you go to the bathroom, I asked. We have plenty of pencils right here. Emily is weird. Chapter 11. Goodbye. The next day, we had to take the history test again. Everybody was nervous. If we scored high, our school would stay open. But if we scored low, our school would shut down. We would have to go to Dirk's school on the other side of the town. We were all on pins and needles. Well, not really. We were sitting on chairs. Why would anybody want to sit on pins and needles? That would hurt. Before the test, we had to go to the all-purpose room. Mr. Klutz, Mr. Dockers, Mrs. Yonkers, and some other teachers were up on the stage, but not Dr. Nicholas. Where's Dr. Nicholas, whispered Michael. Where's Dr. Nicholas, whispered Andrea. Where's Dr. Nicholas, whispered Emily. In case you were wondering, everybody was whispering, where's Dr. Nicholas? Mr. Klutz made a shut up peace sign with his fingers, and we all stopped whispering to each other. He wasn't smiling like he usually is. He looked really sad. I want to let you students know that I just fired Dr. Nicholas, he said. What? Everybody gasped. Relax, Dr. Nicholas. This was the worst thing to happen since TV turned off week. Why did you fire Dr. Nicholas? We all shouted. I found out she was wasting valuable classroom time to teach you about silly things like history of Barbie dolls and the history of toilet bowls, said Mr. Klutz. As a result, you are not prepared for the big test, and you may very well fail it. Elementary school may close its door forever. Everybody was mourning and sobbing and wiping their eyes with their tissues. I just wanted you to know that it has been a pleasure being your principal, said Mr. Klutz, and I just wanted to say goodbye. It was really sad. We walked back to our classroom without saying a word. When Mr. Granite passed out the test papers and asked if we were all had our number two pencils, nobody even giggled or cracked a joke about number two. When I say go, turn over your test papers, said Mr. Granite. Ready, set, go. I turned over my test paper and looked at the first few questions. Who invented the Barbie? What did Tom Crapper do? Well, you probably know what happened after that. We did great on the test. We scored so high that Mr. Klutz threw us a big party. And do you know what I had to eat at the party? I'm not going to tell you. Okay, I will tell you. No, it wasn't cake. You thought I was going to say piece of cake, didn't you? But there was no cake at all. Why is everybody always talking about cake? We had cookies and jello and pie at the party. I ate so much I thought I was going to throw up. It was the greatest day of my life. Maybe Dr. Nichols will get hired again to teach us more history. Maybe meteor will destroy the earth and we won't have to take tests anymore. Maybe they'll come up with a different number for the pencils. Maybe pilgrims will go Home Depot. Maybe Chuck Norris will run for the president. And maybe we'll go scuba diving in the all-purpose room. Maybe Dr. Nix will get off Oprah. And maybe the dinosaur will return. We can ride them to school. Maybe we'll find out who invented the toilet paper. Maybe we'll get another ride in the time boat. Maybe we'll get to try some paper made out of peanuts. Maybe Emily will get lost in time for real. And maybe we'll learn how to say word crapper without giggling. And maybe people will stop talking about the cake all the time. But it won't be easy. The end. I hope you guys enjoyed Dr. Nichols's ridiculous story time. Until next time. Goodbye.